We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Space, the final frontier.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds.
Engage.
Kirk Enterprise. Enterprise.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Captain Catherine Janeway.
Captain Sisko.
Red alert.
Photon torpedoes. Fire.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Engage. Engage.
Make it so.
With your host, Jordan Hoffman.
That, sir, is illogical.
And to make sure history never forgets.
This is Engage.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
All right, this is night one of Star Trek Las Vegas 2016. We are here. It's evening time. We're at Quark's Bar. And my new best friend is here because he brought me dinner. I hadn't eaten all day. And James is like, I'm going to In-N-Out Burger. What do you need? I'm like, bring me meat. And he did. So, James, welcome to our first of the nightly recaps. James, what is your last name again?
It's great to be here. James Morehouse.
James Morehouse, who tweets at Enterprise Extra on the internet.
That is correct.
And is cosplaying right now as Dr. Nichols.
Not now, Madeline. PlexiCorp, Voyage Home.
It's a great, because he's got like an old Mac mouse and just a cardigan and an I Quit Smoking pin, and that's the costume.
It's pretty simple.
You got people here in $1,000 Borg costumes that they spend all year on, and you just threw a cardigan on.
And it's warm in the hotel. It's very nice.
We also have Adam Drozen here. Adam, say hello.
Hello, Engage Podcast. Hello, Star Trek Las Vegas.
And you're not dressed as anybody.
No, I'm wearing my Eraserhead t-shirt, bringing the David Lynch fandom to the Trek convention, of course.
And you are on Twitter. You're Drozen with a zero, right?
Drozen with a zero. You all got
right,
it.
Good. And you are on, we have you here tonight because you are two very dedicated Star Trek fans. You guys blow me out of the water in terms of the ability to recall the titles. I was listening to you guys before, and it's like, oh, well, that one on Voyager, when you're just like, boom, the name. You just got it. Season four, boom. You just knew the one. I mean, that is a, I mean, you know, that's not a skill that'll get you anywhere in life other than here, but it's impressive.
I'm just realizing that is a skill that's not going to get me anywhere in life. Damn. But I am good at that.
When NYU finally gets their act together and has us teach their Star Trek course, we're going to, you know, dig in deep and drop some knowledge on the Churins at Tisch School of the Arts.
Wait, is there a Star Trek course at NYU?
I wish there is.
Oh, my God. All right, well, we're going to work on that. So how many conventions have you been to in Vegas?
I've been going consistently for about 15 years.
Whoa, okay.
So is this the early 2000s? I missed a few in there, but it's at least five or six straight now.
Okay.
This is year four for me, but I'm also a relatively new fan.
Yes.
I only started watching in 2011.
That's unbelievable.
Really? You only got into it in 2011? I mean, you're a younger guy, but you were an adult when you got into it.
I was. I was for many years the pretentious international cinema, experimental cinema geek. Jordan and I are both grads of NYU Film School, and I fill that pretentious role to a T. And once I got out of school, you know, this was right when Netflix streaming really took off, and watching a Godard movie after working, it requires a certain amount of mental energy, and I was still looking for something, so 700 hours of Star Trek, I started dabbling, and here we are 4 years later.
Thank you.
That's incredible.
Well, so that's a nice pivot from the Criterion Collection to TOS. Is that where you started?
I kind of started with TNG, actually, and the episode where it really clicked for me was not necessarily a well-regarded one, actually. It was Identity Crisis, where Geordi is turning into a glow-in-the-dark neon alien.
Yeah.
Not generally well-regarded as a great one, kind of a middle-of-the-road episode, but the scene where it really made it happen was where he's in the holodeck recreating the situation based on footage they took at the site, and he's like, change the lighting, change the angle. He's basically editing in the holodeck.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I get this, and
It's like De Palma's blowout, but on the Enterprise.
Oh, my God. And, you know, thankfully, we do have people like Brandon Braga who go out there and say, yeah, this episode was influenced by David Lynch. This episode was influenced by Polanski. I love that stuff.
But, you know, that's funny. That episode, so when... Geordi is like that. He's kind of like a rock creature, I guess. I don't know how you would describe it. I was just in the merch room today, and, you know, they got all the action figures that I don't need, and I saw that they had that. It was Geordi as the creature.
It's a blue neon lizard, Jordan.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a rock.
He looks like a rock creature. It's a blue neon.
He's going to become invisible eventually.
Yeah.
More lizard than rock, I would say.
I think the key feature of those aliens was the blue veins that started to appear.
It's like reverse Tron. It was like reverse. So yeah, I saw the action figure and I was like, oh, I gotta get this. I'm like, would you stop? Like, just end it. Just stop. Because I don't buy a lot of stuff, but I like buying the weirdo stuff. But I gotta stop. It's like enough already, you know.
He fits right perfectly on the shelf next to Lizard Tom Paris from Threshold.
Yeah, that I have. Yes. That's my pride and joy. And what's so great is that I bought it here at the convention a couple years ago, and I don't know if I only paid $1, but the price tag on it says $1, and it's still in box, but it's bent. Like, it's just creased and bent. It's like, that's what it deserves. It deserves, awesome. It was like clearly underneath a pile of crap forever, smushed and smashed, and it's only $1. Like, you know, that's $1 more than you should be. The worst episode, Threshold, the worst episode of all time?
No, it's not the worst episode of all time. It has some general interesting structure. The worst episode of all time is, and I'm going to say this, I will argue with anybody, is Voyager's author.
Ooh.
It is completely untrue to character. I can't stand it.
Photons not be free.
I'm a fan of that episode, but I do think a little weird deep cut knowledge that I love about Threshold is the only episode of Star Trek written by Mike DeLuca, formerly the head of New Line Cinema.
Oh, shit. I never knew that.
And he wrote some weird stuff, though. He wrote In the Mouth of Madness for John Carpenter. So there's a connective tissue right there with Threshold.
This guy's knowledge is unbelievable. Yeah. And he's only been watching Trek for 5 years. It's incredible.
It's pretty great. I think the worst is Anna Children Shall Leave.
Actually, that is the worst episode. You are correct. You win.
The only thing I saw somebody was screaming and yelling about this on Twitter, and somebody said, but that was the first time we saw the UFP flag.
I literally was about to say that's the best part and the only worthwhile part of that episode is seeing that flag.
But the shower curtain lawyer is also pretty damn impressive. But yes, actually both of those are dead last at TrekRanks.com, where I have ranked every single episode of Star Trek.
Good for you, man. And the other one that's really rough is All the Way Home.
Move along home.
Yeah,
just Alan Moraine.
Just unbelievably cringeworthy.
But it's got some TOS. It's got a fun TOS vibe to it that it's
it
not.
It wants to have a fun TOS vibe, but it's
fair.
Fails
I mean, it's
that.
A bottom 20 episode, but it's not the worst. It's not the worst.
For all you canonistas, as Larry Nemechek would say, it's the first time we see an alien from the Gamma Quadrant.
But does he say that he's from the Gamma Quadrant?
I don't know. Do they? And I think that's.
That's the Wadi. Sorry, the Wadi. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, right.
Whoa, hardcore.
Deep cut.
The Dosi are the first aliens we see in the Gamma Quadrant.
In the Gamma Quadrant. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's something. And also, Kira, the voice, is she saying Alan Moraine? It doesn't matter. But anyway, so that's later in the week. We're doing the One Trek Mind live panel.
Can't wait.
Where we're going to do best and worst. So I'm ready for you to fight me because I think Photons Be Free. You know, earlier today, I spoke with Bob Picardo and we brought up Photons Be Free when we were talking about sentient artificial intelligence.
And all of that that's a great part of the episode and a great. Yeah. Theme, but the way the doctor treats the crew, literally, it's so vile that when they get home, they're going to have a press conference. That's the first thing they have to do, have a press conference. How terrible are you people? Obviously, you're the worst people in the universe for the things that you did to this poor...
I'll say this. I'm a big fan of the mobile emitter backpack, which is kind of awesome. And I think this episode really does lead credence to my theory that the Bolians are kind of sketchy. What do we really know about the Bolians, guys?
They cut hair, and they're funny.
if there's a smarmy literary agent in the 24th century, then we've lost. I mean, there's not going to be. There's not going to be. Not in this 24th century. There's not going to be smarmy literary agents.
There's not going to be any books or anything anyway. So. Well, listen, so these evening recaps that we're doing, by the way, we are all having a drink. And thanks to our friends at Federation of Beer, we're all drinking Orion Syndicate Authentic Czech Lager.
Really, really nice.
How is it authentic Czech if it's made in... I don't think it's... Oh, it is
made. The Czech Republic.
It is. I take it all back. I'm such an idiot. I should take these people at their word, yeah.
I also, last night, courtesy of Federation of Beer and then courtesy of Andy Fark of 5-Year Mission, I tried their new anniversary Golden Triple Ale, which was also very good.
Oh, okay, good. So we're having a few of these drinks, but what I want to talk to you guys and what we're going to be doing every night with these recaps, and we're going to have some fun people in additional nights, is I want to know, like, what was your day like? So we'll go around the room. I'll start with myself, just to let you know, I did get to have a nice about 35-minute conversation with Bob Picardo, which we recorded for the podcast, and we're going to roll out next week. He was at the table for his the organization that he represents, which is called the Planetary Society, planetary.org, which Bill Nye is the head honcho, and Bob is, you know, medium honcho. And it was great. I mean, the guy really knows a lot about... He's a real science enthusiast. He's not joking. I mean, but he wasn't his whole life. Star Trek really nudged him in that direction. I mean, Star Trek and then Stargate. And then, you know, he's like, okay, I'm a sci-fi guy now. And then he started reading about science and sort of carved out a niche for himself to be sort of a representative of, like, fun science fiction / science fact and... is representing this organization and Planetary what's it called? Planetary
Society.
It's founded by Carl Sagan. You know, this is no joke of a group. You know, he hosted a panel with some NASA guys at San Diego. So he really knows his stuff. So that was pretty impressive. That was the highlight of the day. And then it was just seeing some of the new decorations they've done this year, including they have some from the Roddenberry Vault, we were talking about this earlier, these old sketches from the animated series. So there's like a Mress that's like 4 feet high, and the Lucifer figure from the Magics of Magus 2.
Adam's favorite all-time episode of Star Trek.
The most psychedelic, the most counterculture, the most insane episode.
It's great.
It's punk rock. It's the most punk Trek episode.
It really is. There's a moment, you're too young to know about it, but there used to be a thing called Fruit Stripe Gum.
Of course I know Fruit Stripe.
Oh, you know Fruit Stripe Gum? Okay. Yeah. So there's a moment where just like the animation just starts looking like Fruit Stripe Gum. And it's like, what is this? What are we seeing? I've written about for StarTrek.com. I did a hats off to Magics of Magus 2 a few years ago that maybe I'll resurface it again. But so that was up there. And also what was very nice, which I wasn't expecting to see, was they put up a remembrance wall for Anton Yelchin. And within an hour, it was already filled with signatures and thoughts. And there were some people that, there was this one woman that was like really emotional. I mean, she wasn't sobbing, but she was like, you know, this is, it's really a tragedy with him. But it was really nice that they did that, you know, because he doesn't get the most screen time in the new movies, but he's so good. Every moment he's on, he just kills it. So
it's a devastating loss, to say the least.
Absolutely.
He's so good.
So I think those were the highlights for me. What were the highlights for you?
Well,
on
I did
day
not
one?
Hang out with Bob Picardo today, so that's number one. My highlight was actually walking through the 50 Art Pieces in 50 Years exhibition, because I'd been looking forward to that for a while. I wasn't able to see it at Comic-Con. We've been talking about it for a few months now.
Yeah.
So I went through it really slow and took a bunch of pictures and looked at all. I mean, some amazing art pieces. I really like some of the deep cut ones that have some subtle Trek references that you're only going to know.
Yeah, there's one that's like of George and Gracie, but really, really nice.
And Zindia in the background.
Yeah.
Shooting in the
But there's a lot, you know, I haven't given it the amount of time that it deserves yet. Like, I want to scrutinize every one of them, but when you do, you walk in that room, it's like, oh, that's my new favorite one. Then you walk a few feet, this is my new favorite one.
Yeah,
so.
That's pretty much how it was. But I spent about an hour in there, so that was really good. Panel-wise, the Eleanor Donahue panel was really interesting with Scott Mantz.
Yeah. Remind the casual listeners who Eleanor Donahue is.
She played Nancy Hedford in Metamorphosis. First time she's been to a convention, if not ever in years.
So
first time we've
seen her. She's not a young woman.
But you know, she's been in literally everything. She was in The Odd Couple. She was either Felix. I think she was Oscar's girlfriend. And then Andy Griffith. And
really?
Father
wow.
Knows Best as a child actor.
Yeah.
So she's been around. It was really interesting.
I want to let people know who have never been to the Vegas convention how it works. So it's the Rio Hotel, which is a nice enough hotel. And then they have a sizable convention center attached to it. Now, there's a casino here, too, which is great because there are people here just going to the casino who are probably just playing the slots. And they turn around and there's like, oh, there's a Ferengi, there's a Gorn, there's a Romulan. But they go, oh, it's Star Trek week. Okay. But then in the convention center attached, there are these huge vendor rooms where Picardo was earlier today at his booth, and you know the cool the Mac cosmetics
so cool.
booth, which was really great. And then there are two different. Actually, this year there are three stages, and pretty much simultaneously there are events happening on each stage. So some years it can just be. Like, eventually, it's just Bill Shatner comes out. Bill, like, he's my cousin. Bill Shatner comes out, and he just talks for an hour about whatever the hell's on his mind. But then there are more, in the smaller stage, there are more niche people that come up. And it's actors and actresses, but also behind the scenes. But also people, like, who want to talk about, the influence of Star Trek on space technology and whatnot. So, you know, there are these three things happening. But then there's also just people just hanging out and just taking pictures of each other in costume and now it's evening having a beer in this pretty large space here. So that's the scene. So tell us a little bit more about that panel that you saw.
Oh, it's just an interesting panel to hear kind of her perspective of the character after literally 50 years.
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting episode in the way it's shot and the cinematography in that episode is unbelievable. Like some forced perspective stuff with Galileo.
And it's a huge canon breach though, that whole episode. Well, right? I mean, isn't it?
No, it all fits.
It's a paradox.
It all works.
Wait, how are you going to retcon this?
It all works.
Metamorphosis has Zefram Cochran in it, and he's not James...
Cromwell.
But they look exactly alike. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, and she actually told a great story about her scarf that she wore.
I love that scarf.
That she hadn't... It was a late ad by Bill Thies because she had lost weight since the costume fitting. And that ended up being a huge part of the episode when they hold the scarf up and they shoot through it to kind of envision what the metamorphosis creature's doing. So
the cloud, yeah.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Awesome.
My favorite panel was in the smaller theater. It was with Bijo Trimble, John Trimble, Richard Arnold, and another woman whose name unfortunately escapes me at the moment. Sukkot, thank you. About the early days of Trek fandom and early convention culture. It was fascinating.
Right. For the younger people who are listening or people who don't know, Bijo and John Trimble, you can't overstate this enough. They're the reason we're all here to an extent. They were the first ones to get Star Trek to have a third season. It was going to be canceled after the second season, and they started the letter writing campaign, and they instigated it, and it got them the third season. And even though some people make fun of original series' third season, were it not for just the sheer numbers, it had to pass a certain threshold to then be the syndication giant, and it was Star Trek in syndication that led it to the animated and then eventually the movie and then the whole thing. So it's a domino effect from there. I met her for the first time last night, and she's a she's a pistol, as they say.
She is a pistol.
She's in her 80s.
Right.
She has dyed pink. She has like a streak of dyed fuchsia hair. It's bright. Right? Is that the correct color?
Or? It's definitely fuchsia, and I got to say, between her and Ira Stephen Bear, what a power couple.
He's somebody else who likes to dye his
hair. The purple goatee.
Purple goatee. So what did they... Was there anything that you learned at that panel that you hadn't heard before?
Not necessarily. First of all, they just got a hero's welcome, standing ovations when they entered and left, and it was just beautiful to see the fans really embrace them and recognize them for, like you said, being the real core of what is now considered Star Trek fandom, the original fandom. And yeah, go ahead.
And as you know, they wrote like the first reference book in Star Trek history, the Concordance, which
great name.
Such a Star Trek name.
Us older guys had as kids in the 70s.
Right. They can't just call it the Star Trek book or the Star Trek reference guide.
It's a great name.
The Concordance.
Right. And one guy was like, I love the compendium this. And John's like, excuse me, it's the Concordance.
Yeah. No, there is a compendium there.
Right.
That's something else. Yeah. I had the compendium when I was 14 or whatever. That was the first Star Trek book I got, was I got the compendium. And that really, you know, back before we had the internet, you know, I had the Star Trek compendium, you know.
Here's one thing I did learn. Sue Codd brought up the story about the early conventions, and one of the guests that Gene Roddenberry would often appear with was the great science fiction novelist Isaac Asimov. And I found out today that apparently Asimov hated to travel and hated to fly. So I thought that was kind of an interesting little tidbit, courtesy of Sue.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. He knew enough about how planes work to say, this is crazy. I'm not getting in one of those. Now, one of the other big highlights was the Mac thing. Now, I do not wear makeup, but and I spoke. I did an interview with the lead designer from Mac, but you know, there's a it's a branded thing. You know, this happens. You know, Star Trek. They have a branded thing right now with Hewlett Packard, right? I mean, these things are good for the brand because it means money, but this is a great alignment because it's really cool. They've created makeup in four different styles. They have the Seven of Nine, the Deanna Troi, the Uhura, and the Orion, what's her name? Vina. But what they have in the room is a giant round structure. It's basically the saucer of the Enterprise. And they have a 10 forward set, they have a TOS transporter set, and they have the Voyager warp core set, and they have these models who are very beautiful, dressed as characters. They have a dude in there too. They got Data.
Data looks great. He's awesome.
They had a really great Data in there, and it's great. And then Uhura was singing. What's the song from Charlie X? Charlie's Our New Darling. It's
Charlie's Our New Darling.
But what's it called?
I have no idea.
It's fine. It's called Charlie. So she sang that, and they had a dude dressed as Spock playing the Vulcan lyre. Did you see this?
No.
So cool.
It was great.
I saw someone tweet a picture of it. I didn't realize they were part of the Mac.
No, they're part of the Mac, yeah.
It's so cool. It's so beautifully designed. It takes up a huge part of the vendor's room. There's a little vendor's room addition this year where a couple other of the vendors are in a side room, which wasn't last year because it takes up such a big part of it. But I think it's just great because you know some young girls are going to see these advertisements with these great caricatures, cartoons of the women of Star Trek. Yeah. And they're going to be like, what is this? And start getting into it. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool alignment. And even if you don't give a crap about makeup, it's a great set. And I hope they come back every year because it looks great.
For sure.
Apparently also, I didn't see Vina does a dance as another number. They're doing it only rotate like every 20 minutes or so. First Uhura sings and Vina does a dance. So you just got to sit in there and wait for it to happen.
I hope if when Vina does a dance, they have another model in the crowd dressed up like Pike in his slave trader outfit. Just looking shifty and uncomfortable. I hope that's the case.
I went over and spoke. So when I was there, nobody was talking to Seven of Nine because she's very intimidating looking.
Right.
But I decided, hey, Seven of Nine, how are you? He's like, I am well. And I said, can I take a selfie with you? And she's like, of course. And I said, yeah, I'll take the picture myself. And she's like, that is, what was the way she phrased it? It was, she didn't say logical, but
efficient.
A very efficient way to do it. Yeah, very efficient way to shoot it. Like, you know, so they didn't just hire a model.
I didn't even realize that. So they're in character?
Yeah, they're totally in character. And she knew her stuff. Like, she knew how to talk to her. She had the voice down. So eventually I'm going to go back and try to talk to all of them and see. Maybe I'll get a session with Counselor Troi.
Yeah.
I'll tell her about my feelings. She can help me work through them. So what about tomorrow? What do you got set for tomorrow?
Tomorrow, One Trek Mind, right?
That's Friday. What's the big panel tomorrow that you want to see?
I'm not sure.
Oh, tomorrow, IDW Comics panel. I'm really excited because they have comics legend John Byrne appearing. He's done a ton of Star Trek, but also, but going back to the 80s, Fantastic Four, X-Men, Superman, legend. Can't wait to see John Byrne.
Reed made the best Superman comics ever, Man of Steel.
Exactly.
Greatest stuff.
I think tomorrow is Whoopi, too.
I think tomorrow
afternoon is Whoopi.
First ever
Star Trek appearance, so that'll be interesting.
Is it really her first ever appearance?
I think she did a Wizard World in Chicago, but this is her first stretch.
But she's never, whenever Patrick Stewart shows up on The View, she'll yap about Star Trek. I mean, she's not like, she doesn't talk about Star Trek. She's very proud of her Star Trek. The one time I ever saw her, I saw the screening of The Dark Knight, of all things. She sat right in front of me, and I'm like, how do you not talk to Whoopi Goldberg? But like, I just said, oh, I love Guinan. You know, like, that's all I did was talking about Guinan. She was like thrilled. You know, I wasn't bothering about Ghost or 25 years on The View or anything like that. So. Anywho, cool. So that's what's going to be happening tomorrow. And tonight, it's still fairly early. It's 8:10. Feels a lot later.
I can't believe it's Wednesday.
I know.
This is the 5-day thing.
This is the extra day.
Normally this would be Thursday.
Right.
By the way, I have a panel tomorrow. I just forgot about
that. Oh, what the hell? That's right. You're
number one.
So James has a whole story. Oh, that's Chase Masterson.
All right, yeah, she's on now.
Guys, Lita just took the stage at Quarks. If you don't understand
how important that is.
Yeah. Yeah, so clearly we're going to be wrapping this up soon because I want to check out what Chase Masterson is doing. But James was an extra on Enterprise. You won a contest, right?
I won a walk-on role to be an extra on Enterprise, and I fired the phasers, and my panel is called The Fan Who Fired the Phasers.
Oh, that's great. What time is that?
12:30 on Thursday. So everybody be there.
I'll be there.
And for anyone who can't be there, go on Netflix and pull up the Vulcan trilogy, Enterprise Season 4, possibly the best of Enterprise.
Yeah, not only are you on, you're on the best episode.
Well, my favorite thing about it is that I'm in the episode with T'Pau. I mean, and I have loved T'Pau my whole life, literally.
Who has?
It's pretty cool.
What was that one T'Pau song?
Heart and Soul.
It can't stump you. Can't stump you. All right, cool. Well, that's it for that's. So we couldn't wait. That's Chase Masterson singing in the background. Everybody, be quiet for a second. I don't know if these very expensive Play.it microphones can pick them up.
The Dabo wheel is spinning.
The Dabo wheel is spinning. So that's Chase Masterson. So we're going to close it out for now. But thanks for listening. We're going to do another nightly recap tomorrow with new guests. But if you want to swing by.
We're going to be back.
Yeah, we'll be back. And we're going to keep drinking. But I'm not going to bed too late because I'm still in New York time and I'm in Vegas and I'm exhausted. But we're going to also be interviewing more stars. And then next week, we're going to have those interviews. And in the meantime, thanks for listening. If you didn't go back and listen to our interview with Simon Pegg that went up today, go back and listen to the one with Doug Jung from like 2 days earlier.
So good.
Yeah, I feel like the Doug Jung one is a little overshadowed by the Simon Pegg one. Because Simon Pegg made a little bit of news because he mentioned, and he brought it up. He's like, yeah, what did we do with Carol Marcus? Well, I'll tell you. So that was some news. But the Doug Jung interview was good, too. So if you're on iTunes, just scroll back and hit play. It's just a couple above us. All right, we'll catch you, Adam and James. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.